at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Buy everything, damn it. I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com. I love it. It feels so good because I am so phenomenal. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Jersey Strong Jay this week. No, he's off in the gym tonight doing whatever it is that he does. No, it is here. Mr. Cooking with TLD right here at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That's right. We might as well rename the entire show and call it Cooking with TLD because the ratings are going to go so high and the oil is going to go very high. And it is a phenomenal night to talk about some pro wrestling. We are live here for the next hour to talk all what's going on here at pro wrestling. But, of course, we can't go on without talking to my panel, which is only one person of them here. So, who's on the panel right now?
Hey, it's me, Toph.
Hey, Toph. You know, I don't have your phone number in my phone. I know Jay does, but I have you here on the phone. Everyone else kind of backed out. Of course, we're still waiting for JCD to get on, I guess. I don't know if he's going to come on or not. But anyway, Toph, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I've just been watching a bunch of New Generation stuff lately, you know, between the years of 94 to 96. Just watched WrestleMania 10 earlier today. I'm having a good day. How are you doing today?
WrestleMania 10, my very first WrestleMania. It brings back so many memories. I'm actually feeling pretty good. You know, the girlfriend got a new job. She's doing really good at that. You know, I was looking forward to hosting tonight because, as you know, Toph, ratings do climb for some odd reason when TLD is on the hosting duties. I mean, you must agree to that.
Yes, this is true. You know, strange things happen.
That's right. Miracles do happen, right? So let's talk about a couple. Let's get the plugs down, and we'll talk about the order of what we're going to be talking about tonight. First off, we are ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, a brand new redone ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check us out. We're also mobile on all your devices, including iPhones and, unfortunately, Droids. And you can check us out also here at blogtalkradio.com. We have shows every Tuesday night, and we are going to be here for Tuesday night as well as any pay-per-views. We are always there for the coverage. But definitely check out us out on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Check us out there. We made 1,000 likes. How about that, Toph, or followers? It's likes, whatever. How do you
That's
think
great.
Of that? Yeah, so I'm very happy. You know, even Wrestling Reaction retweeted my post of I am your sexy host, TLD. So it's pretty cool how we are getting more and more exposure. It's almost a year. SummerSlam was the day that we started. Would you come aboard, Toph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
When did you come aboard, Toph? When did you actually join our team?
Oh, like when I actually joined? It all started when I can't tell you the full story, but to just kind of sum it up, I'm an administrator on another page called PWZ Professional Wrestling Zone, and Jay was for the New Jersey area, and because WrestleMania was in the New Jersey area last year, Jay had posted this really cool picture of, you know, some of the cooler things that were going on, you know, like the events, like when they had announced it was going to be in New Jersey at WrestleMania 28, you know, the New Jersey, New York thing, Jay started posting different pictures, and then I added him on Facebook, and we started talking, and then Jay kind of told me about how he was going to start PWP, his own thing, and I said, sure, and I was really shy at first because, you know, the whole radio internet thing was kind of new to me. I never tried it before, and he just told me to call in whenever, and I just called in, and it was right around, you know, shortly after SummerSlam, and just kind of called in week after week and just sort of became part of the team. And, you know, I don't mind helping people, you know. A lot of wrestling fans out there, it's like they get their own thing going, and, you know, when they get their own thing going, they just focus on their own thing, and they don't want to help other folks. So, you know, I just like helping people, you know.
Yeah, man, I'm all about helping people. I am like the helper of the helpers. I'm with you. And me and Jay, you know, we know each other for years, going back to the Wrestling Roundtable where we got together and I helped him out joining up with the radio network and doing the TV thing. It's been fun. It's been real. But let's talk about, we're going to talk about a couple different things tonight. But the first thing I want to talk about was Total Divas. Now, on E!, everyone knew that Total Divas was coming out. You know, it was promoted like crazy, as we know. In fact, Eva Marie slapped Jerry Lawler right across the face. But after the actual Raw, we saw Total Divas play right after Raw. So because I knew I didn't watch the show on E!, I figured I'd give it a shot. And, oh, my God, I'm sad to say I am hooked on the show, Toph. I am actually interested in watching this show because even though it's the Divas, there's a lot of realism to a lot of the stories, especially when we hear about the backstage stuff. It really actually is good for, you know, us who are big wrestling fans to know about what goes on behind the scenes and what they do. And, you know, so, Toph, I got to hear what, if you watched it, what did you think of it?
Well, I don't have the E! Network, so when I first heard about it, I was like, bummer. But then I found out they'll be showing replays after Raw. My DVR caught it because I have it set up to just record every WWE thing. I've seen like the first 30 minutes of it. I got to finish the rest of it. But from what I've seen, it's interesting. You know, I'm not really a fan of reality TV being mixed with WWE. But, you know, the Divas show is TV-14, which by itself makes it worth watching, giving it a shot. So, you know, many of the things they show from what I saw, I knew already. Like, I already knew that Trinity, you know, the funny thing about the show is that, you know, kayfabe's dead because they call him by their real names, which is just so funny. But,
right.
Yeah, I knew Trinity was dating one of the Usos. And, you know, I think by at this point it's common knowledge the Bellas are dating John Cena and Daniel Bryan. There might be a few fans out there that may have not known that. But, you know, I think it's interesting. I think the thing that really kind of caught my interest was the whole Eve Maria changing her hair to blonde. I definitely understand where she's coming from there because my girlfriend, she is a part-time model, and when she first started, they told her that she had to change her hair color because, unfortunately for her, many of the other girls in the group, you know, had similar hair things. And, you know, to guys, we don't really think about it because, you know, we see a hot chick, we're like, cool, you know, whatever. But, you know, to girls, though, they think about stuff like that. You know, if you're a brunette, if you're a blonde and you're new and you're coming in, they want you to change your hair color. And I totally related to her because, you know, she doesn't look like a blonde. Just look at Eva Marie's personality, like, no. And what really kind of made me feel for her is if you, like, kind of go back in a time machine of WWF or WWE, a lot of chicks, when they first come in, they are blonde, you know, like Sunny and Trish
right.
and Sable and Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler. And then once they get established and they're over, then they can change their hair color or whatever they want. So the fact that she, you know, was like, you know what, forget it, I'm going to do my own thing and just made her hair red, I do respect her for that. You know, that took a lot of courage because a lot of bosses would have just fired her on the spot. But luckily for her, they liked it, so... That's cool.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering because I saw her, she was totally red on the Raw, and then obviously she came in, you know, they returned her blonde, so I was kind of confused, but then I figured out, oh, well, obviously she's doing it on her own. I got to say, though, and they went, I don't know if you, just to have to spoil it, but I don't know if you want me to spoil it or not, but they went as far as up to WrestleMania, and we know what happened at WrestleMania with the Divas match.
Yeah, it was unfortunately cut.
Yeah.
So
that's where they kind of left us off at. But it was really good television. And like I said, it's good for a Divas aspect, but I think it's also good for us to know what goes on behind the scenes of the WWE. And yes, it's TV-14. There's a lot of real shit going on in that show.
What I liked the most about it was it established what we've been – not what we've been saying, but it established what many fans have been saying for – you know, it's been going on really since around 2010. There's been this whole trend of Natalya deserves better. You know, she's one of the most underutilized, not just female talents in present-day WWE, but one of the most underutilized talents in general. If I made a top 25 list of most underutilized talents, she would be like on the top 10. She could be used so much better. But for so many years, you know, many skeptics and optimists are saying, well, you know, we don't know what goes on backstage. You know, maybe she's happy. Maybe she's okay with her position, when clearly we see in this first episode that she's clearly not. So I'm happy that they finally addressed that Natalya does not like her position and that she thinks that she deserves better. So hopefully this leads to something for her, something.
Well, she was on Raw, you know, this week. You know, I think the reason why they brought Natalya in was because of that kind of a story where they knew there would be some drama in it where, you know, and that's why obviously you can tell now why the Bellas came back to WWE with this whole reality show kind of mixing into it. I like the idea of it. I think it's going great. In fact, I took to Twitter and I was surprised on how many people feel the same way we do, where everyone was actually pretty happy with the results of the show. You know, so I think, and they had a good rating. It had a good solid, you know, series premiere rating. It had a great replay rating. So I think that fans are hooked into it, and I think people will watch it. I think there's a lot of great backstory into it. It brings a lot of talent out that we don't normally see on the main card. So I got to say, I was hooked. I loved the show.
The only negative I can really give it, you know, like, best of luck to them. You know, congrats. You know, this is definitely a breath of fresh air the Divas need. The only negative that I'll give it is, you know, they're trying to introduce this, you know, Maria chick, or the Eva chick and the JoJo chick. So when it's all said and done, when the show is over, they need to do something with them when they officially debut, because the problem is, you know, Tough Enough is the same thing. You know, it was interesting, you know, mixing reality with wrestling. You get to see how it's like to be trained and the stuff you got to go through. But then when the person wins, they don't get used and they just kind of vanish. So it's kind of like,
right.
You know, so it was like, it's a good show, but you didn't do anything with the winner. So hopefully when it's all said and done, JoJo and Eva Marie, they actually become relevant divas that just don't vanish like all the Tough Enough winners.
Yeah. Well, it's not a competition show, which I think gives it a little bit of an advantage, you know, to that point. You know, I mean, they didn't want to put Andy wasn't even the best choice anyway to even pick for the winner. So honestly, what was he going to do that was going to impact? I think Eva Marie and JoJo, I think they're two different look girls who both look like they could be, like, one looks like a badass and then one looks like one that could be like a friend next door, you know, type of girl. She's young, 19. I mean, 19 is a young age to get into pro wrestling. And, you know, I don't think they were wrestlers beforehand. I mean, they mentioned that they're learning to train. So obviously they've never really had training. So I don't know where they came from. I mean, if they're models, then they're models. But, you know, if they could train, I mean, Trish Stratus was a model.
She was a model. She got good. So,
yeah. So there you go. Anybody could do it. And, you know, so let's hope that this show gets some good rating. I think this is going to be a show that's going to take off. I really do. I think it's going to be just as good as Tough Enough, maybe even better. You know, with all the relationships with Daniel Bryan and John Cena coming in, like, there's a lot of realism with his, you know, his divorce. They talk about John Cena's divorce in there, you know, Daniel Bryan and his, like, you know, vegan style, you know, where they eat, you know, and I love the show. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, I wish it nothing but the best.
Yep. Let's always hope. We always like new stuff. So let's talk about from a positive thing to two negative things. And we're going to talk about TNA. Okay.
Have you seen today's picture?
What?
Have you seen today's picture today?
What picture is that?
Jeff Jarrett, he tweeted a picture of himself in the Great Muda.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Yes, I did see that. Yeah. What do you think that leads to? Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that August 1st, too. We're going to talk about that also. We'll do a little bit of positive with that as well. Let's talk about that right now, August 1st. For those who don't know, if you don't watch TNA, TNA sent out a cryptic tweet on August 1st that someone is coming into TNA Wrestling. They have them all on YouTube, and every person in TNA is pretty much tweeting about it. It's a very WWE-esque cryptic video where you don't know really what they're talking about, but it's a very interesting way of doing it, and I like it a lot. I think it's a very good way to market what happen, and of course hopefully the hype is worth it. But what do you think why do you think this came out? You know, TNA's been going under a lot of really weird scrutiny, and all of a sudden this August 1st pops up out of nowhere. No advertising. It's all social media. So that it wasn't on TNA, I don't believe, at all either.
It hasn't been on TNA
right.
at all.
So, but people are curious of what it is, and they're filming these weird style with a guy in somewhat of a jail cell or some kind of fence, and he's behind. You can't hear, understand him. It's a very good filmed video. What do you think this is leading to? And why do you think they chose now, right now, instead of doing it on that show that they taped, you know, a week ago?
Well, see, that's one positive I will give TNA is they actually took advantage of social media before WWE did. The reason fans don't really see that is because, unfortunately for TNA, they only have one show, and that's Impact that comes on Thursdays. WWE has several shows. They have Raw, they have SmackDown, they have Main Event, they have Superstars, they have NXT. They have so many outlets. So when you watch WWE in a week, it's impossible to not know what they're advertising because at some point you're going to see it. Whereas for TNA, they just have one show. So, you know, because they only have one show, they've been using YouTube and Twitter and Facebook for some time to advertise their stuff. But, you know, because they're a lesser-known company and they only have one show, many fans just don't know about it. As far as why they're doing the August 1st thing, you know, with all the releases they've done lately, it definitely seems like there is a new era coming in TNA, and they're doing everything they can to just, you know, create buzz, you know, get fans interested. You know, Destination X Impact was really good. The Impact they had last week, they had Destination X, was very good. One thing I like about Impact is each week they're advertising what's going to happen the very next week, giving you a reason to tune in. Like, we know that Chris Sabin is going to challenge the X Division champion, who we now know is Manic, and we know later on he's going to fight Bully Ray in a cage match. You know, I do like that about TNA. They advertise what they're going to happen, what's going to happen on future shows. WWE, they don't really do that, at least not most of the time. Sometimes they do.
Yeah, well, this was like the only week I can remember them actually doing it.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I got.
Okay, well, I mean, you speculate it is.
Who? I think it's Loki.
Loki. Why do you think it's Loki?
Because he says, you know, he says that we know who he is, and that he's not part of the Impact roster. And if you look at his little shadowy figure, you can tell he's bald and he's kind of short. Some think it's the Adam Pearce dude, but I hope it's Loki.
You know, one interesting thing that they said was, I beat Batista. You know, that was something very interesting. That's what threw me off, is that it said I beat Batista, because everyone thought it was Batista, but it's not. I mean, at least we don't think it is. I mean, that was one thing that I said, okay, well, then it has to be someone from WWE, but I just don't know who the heck it is. And I think it'll be pretty interesting when August 1st, I mean, it's definitely want to tune in to August 1st and find out what the heck that was about.
Yeah,
so
I think the most lackluster person would be Doc. I mean, nothing against Doc, but you can clearly see from the shadowy figure that it's a bald figure. You know, he definitely doesn't have any hair, so it could be Doc or it could be Loki, although I heard Loki was retiring, so I don't know. It could be Adam Pearce. The rumor for Adam Pearce is, if you go in his Facebook profile, his real profile, like the actual day that the first August 1st thing was posted, he conveniently posted a picture of him in a match with Joseph Park at a house show. You know, like, why would he post? Like, it was posted the exact same day as the August 1st thing, so some might think it's him. I've heard things about him. I heard he was good in NWA. I saw his gut check. It was okay. He didn't really impress me, but, you know, fans say he's good. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that for Adam Pearce, he would need more vignettes to kind of get him going. I think that's the only thing about Adam Pearce, is that I think he needs to be more along the lines of having promos like the Wyatt family and how they did it. You know, that to me would be a better way of bringing them in. If it's somebody that says, I've been there, I beat this person, we're expecting, you know, to be, you know, a little more surprised. So I really don't know, but it'd be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. So we'll find out. But let's move on. Talk about some other TNA issues that happened throughout the week. Jesse Sorensen got released from TNA Wrestling after, as we know, all the promises that he was given to stay in the company. For those who don't know, again, he broke his neck at a pay-per-view back in February of 2012. It was a pretty severe, almost life-threatening, you know, basic injury. And TNA's getting a lot of heat for this. And I, Tope, since you're a TNA fan, I would love to know, what are your thoughts on the promises made to the guy and then when he was announced that he would be released from the company.
Well, I'm not as sorry for him because he's doing fine because he has a bodybuilding career. Because one thing that is kind of personal for me is my mom, she just recovered from 2 bypass surgeries last year. And when you are paralyzed from your legs, what you do in the meantime is you work on your upper body strength. And that's something that I saw my mom and many of the other patients that she was with do. And I've been doing research on Jesse Sorensen, and he's doing just fine. He's working, you know, he's working on his upper body. He's doing the same thing that Evan Bourne did. And he looks like he's going to be great in the bodybuilding career. As far as him being released, I'm more angry at Dixie more than TNA. That was a bad business move from Dixie. She should not have worded it that way. You don't ever say, we promise that we're never going to, you know, cut you. Nothing is ever guaranteed in life. That's just the way it is. You know, she should have said something along the lines of, Jesse, we will do everything in our power to support you. But you don't just say, you know, point blank, we're never going to release you. That's just, that's you can get taken to court for stuff like that. You know, that's like when a boss tells you, okay, I need for you to work, you know, this certain amount of hours. And if you do this amount of hours, then, you know, I'll reward you and give you something. And then you do what the boss tells you to do, and then they cut you. I mean, if you have, like, some kind of signed contract that said that this person said they were going to give you this much and then they don't do it, you can get taken to court, and all types of complicated lawsuits can happen. So that was really just bad business on Dixie Carter's part, and it just really just confirms what many fans have been saying for years, which is that, you know, Dixie, she's a nice lady. She really is. I've met her before. But she's just not she's not made for a wrestling business. Right. She doesn't know how to run one.
Well, I mean, we don't know how she is on the other sides of other businesses that company is, you know, with. She really needs to be careful on – she needs to look like a boss, and she doesn't look – look at Stephanie McMahon. She looks like a boss. Like, that's a girl who could probably have a sweet side in her, but she's got that Vince McMahon in her, you know, and – She will fire you if she had to fire you, you know, because it's about the business, and she's very business oriented, where Dixie is along the lines of trying to be friendly with everyone. And don't get me wrong, it's great to be friendly to every single person that's on your roster. It makes you want to be around someone like that than rather be around someone like Vince McMahon. But when the end of the day comes, when she's still the figurehead of the company and she makes basically the final decisions, other than probably someone above her, she's the face of TNA. She's the president. And if they release John Cena, you know, who are they going to look at right away? They're going to look at Vince McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie and all three of them, you know. But when they look at Dixie and making those bad promises that she said she was going to make, they gave the kid a job to do something completely different, and now they fire him because he was getting way overpaid, you know, along with the other firings that happened throughout, you know, the company. It looks bad, and it's very disappointing. I feel bad for the guy. I'm sure he's going to have more opportunities in other spots in the world. You said he has a bodybuilding career going, you know, but it's really hard. It's hard to say if it was the right move, the wrong move. We don't know. They're not a public company, so we don't know.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to blame TNA for it, because was Dixie's decision. She was the one that did the tweet. You know, I remember shortly after the injury had occurred, I remember she did a tweet that said that Jesse will always be part of the TNA family and that we will never do anything to release him. I remember she tweeted that. So that was Dixie Carter herself that did it. So I'm not going to attack the company. But, of course, Dixie's the figurehead of the company, so people are going to blame TNA when in reality it was, you know, Dixie's decision. You know, but what you said earlier is pretty good, too. Stephanie does look like a businesswoman. Stephanie McMahon, she reminds me of, like, you know, the really strict teacher in school, but is very fair. Like, you know, she's hard, but you know she's strict, and she calls it how it is. Whereas, you know, Dixie Carter, she reminds me of that really cool grandmom that everybody wants. You know, the really cool grandmom, like the grandmom that, like, gives you a new car and, like, you know, but she doesn't really do anything to, you know, mature you as a man. Like, you know, like if you get into a fight instead of, like, if you got into a fight, and let's say you got into a bar fight and you end up in jail, you know, your parents are going to give you tough love, and they may or may not bail you out. They may let you stay in there for the week so you can learn your lesson. Whereas Dixie Carter, she's the type of chick that will just bail you out. Like, she's nice, she'll help you, but she won't do anything to kind of mature you as a person, as a human being. And, you know, that's just a big flaw. When she comes out on Impact, you don't feel like you're seeing the president of the company. You feel like you're seeing, like, a celebrity that just happens to have a position in the company or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. I think that's, you know, I 100% agree with everything you just said. You know, you can't be, you can be friends. You have to be a businesswoman before you try to be a friend in this business. In fact, there's a lot of companies that don't even let you hang out with, you know, like the company, me working for Apple, the managers are not allowed to hang out with me outside of work. It's just not, it doesn't work, and it caused a lot of problems within the company. It's the same deal where I could see someone like her, she goes out and hangs out with these guys and goes to their houses, and Stephanie McMahon will never do that, you know? So that's where Dixie has to try to stop being a friend and try to be a businesswoman, and we can take her seriously, and it's hard to take serious sometimes. It's like every promise or everything that she's going to say, we got big news, and she does this all the time on Twitter, where she's like, oh, I got big news next week, and it turns out to be something completely dull. It happens all the time, you know, and it's just, I feel bad for the guy. You know, honestly, I think if he's told right on television that he's made promise that this guy's going to have a company, be with a company, that him and Zima Ion would have been a perfect storyline for him to get his heat back, and they just totally threw it away. And
yeah, I don't want to rant too much or anything, but, you know, like I said, I've met Dixie many times. She's a very nice lady, very approachable, but, you know, Dixie, you really got to step it up, man. Like, the one thing that Dixie did that, for me, that was inexcusable, like, everything she's done, I can somewhat, you know, forgive. The one thing she did for me was inexcusable is when you had JR on the table. You had JR. JR was nice enough to go to negotiations with you, and she turned him down. She let JR go. And a lot of fans think, oh, well, you know, losing JR is no big deal. This is Jim Ross. Do you know who this guy has founded? All the guys that he helped? He's a great talent recruiter. It's no coincidence the Attitude Era was so good. It's because half the guys that were over, JR founded him. He was a great talent recruiter. Just imagine all the guys. All those guys in NXT getting ready to come up to the main roster, those guys could have been coming to TNA if JR was there, and she just turned them down. You turned them down, and you let Hogan and Bischoff stay? That's not good for business.
Yeah. Well, speaking of not good for business, something else that happened during the week that we didn't talk about was when you are traveling as a wrestling company, one of your things that you have to have with your professional wrestlers is you have to have licenses for them to wrestle in various states. Well, that wasn't the case, I believe, in Missouri, where they had pretty much half their show missing because they had no visas or they had no licenses to allow them to perform in that state. So what happened was about how many wrestlers was it, Toph?
It was a handful. Saban, a few members of the Aces and Eights, Bischoff, Briscoe, one of the Knockouts, I think Velvet, about seven or eight people, which isn't really that much, but when you consider a house show, that's a lot.
That's a lot for a house show.
Yeah, for a house show.
That is too much, actually. I can understand one or two.
Curious. Whose fault would that be? Would that be the wrestler's fault for not having one, or would that be the promotion's fault for making sure for getting
that promotion? Big time promotion. Okay. Absolutely. You cannot wrestle. I mean, I learned this from being in independent wrestling. You have to have a license in order to wrestle, especially when you're with a major company like Ring of Honor would have to do something like that in order to wrestle in certain areas. When you are a performer, that goes for anything. That goes for if you're in Cirque du Soleil or anything like that, you have to have some kind of a license to wrestle in that state. And that is what has occurred here where what makes it weird because they travel to England and all these other places all the time. Yet,
yeah, that is kind of weird.
In our own United States, because they probably don't visit the state enough, or they never have before.
Yeah,
they have
that's
no visas to
my
work.
Mind. Yeah, that's what came to my mind. Since they're just now getting on the road, you know, they probably didn't really, you know, narrow down on that as much as they should have. But, you know, since they're on the road, they should definitely, you know, get all the wrestlers, all the guys on the roster licensed.
And I relate this to, I went to the Monday Night Raw after the volcano incident where they lost their whole Raw roster, if you recall that.
Yeah, I remember that.
I went to that show with a Bret Hart sign because Bret Hart was supposed to be there, but he was overseas. So what WWE did is they brought the SmackDown roster in. The Undertaker worked that night too, which was a really good treat. WWE did everything they could to make up for that show. And they still offered, after the show, a full refund. After the show. So here's the difference when it comes to team. I mean, WWE's got a big locker room to make up for all that room. So thank God they have a big locker room. But TNA, they offered a meet and greet, which I think is a free meet and greet, which I think is a good thing. I don't know if they had to pay for autographs or not. I hope they didn't. And two, they let them get refunds before the show, but not after.
Mm-hmm.
So either you get to the arena that day, you find out eight talents are not wrestling, you have a choice to do the meet and greet and then get a refund, or you go into the show, your favorite wrestlers are not working, you still can't get a refund, though. You went to the show, and that's the big difference with WWE, is that they offered a refund even after the show. You know, and that to me was like the big deal. So, if I drove there, I'm going to go in and watch the damn show. I'm not going to turn around. I mean, would you turn around? No. There's no way you would turn around. You know, you paid money for the tickets.
Right, that makes sense.
You might as well go to the show. You know, that to me was the part that irritated me, is that, you know, WWE is a whole different giant than that, but you got to keep your fan base happy. And I didn't go back and return my ticket. You know, I wouldn't do that. I watched the show. I enjoyed it anyway. I missed The Miz and I missed Bret Hart, who I wanted to see, but you know what? I still enjoyed the show. But, you know, that's just my rant on that. I just think that, you know, That's a big problem with all the other problems that's going on right now with them. It just adds layers and layers of all these different things that are going on with that company. And then the August 1st thing came out, which kind of took me away from all those problems. But this is the first time on radio we've been talking about it. And we are ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. If you have not known, check us out on our PWP page. You can check us out. You can buy stuff on Amazon right through our page. A small cut does go to our fund to make this show free for everybody, you know. And also, we are available on iTunes. Every episode we've ever done is on iTunes. You can check out all the interviews we've done. Check out our YouTube channel, and you can see all the different places we visited. In fact, we're going to a show in New York coming up in October to get some more interviews. I'm looking forward to that. I think JCD is hooking us up for that. So, if you're going?
In New York?
Yes.
Oh, no, I can't go that far.
Yes, you can, man. You know you can drive up and you can join us for a big, big show. It's Family Wrestling Entertainment we're going to see on October.
Oh, you mean FWE?
That's it.
Oh, is Stone Cold ET going to be there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I love that guy. I'm a huge ET, Mark.
Anyway, actually, I don't know if you looked in your Twitter feed, but pretty big news. Randy Orton apparently got attacked in South Africa.
These Australian African fans are pretty crazy. A fan attacked Randy Orton. You know, fans, I mean, we learned this. We learned this from the Monday Night Wars guys. You know, we can go to a show and you can have fun and stuff, but you don't cross the rail, dude. You cross the rail. I mean, that's when you cross the rail. I mean, basically, you're putting your life in the hands of these wrestlers. You know, this, I can recall so many incidents. I remember one ECW show, some fan like crossed the rail and he stole Sabu's turban, and Sabu just beat the ever loving you know what out of this guy. I remember there was a match in WCW. I'll never forget this. It was Dean Malenko and Raven and This fan just jumped in the ring and he attacked Raven like mid promo. And the referee, he was scrawny. I think his name was Randy Anderson. And he like put the fan in like a UFC chokehold. He was a better wrestler than both of them. I was like, good grief. But yeah, man, you don't jump over the rail. Oh, and also unrelated, some fans chanted Goldberg at Ryback, and Ryback just kind of came out there and just played with them. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I just saw the video. The fan actually gave Randy Orton a low blow while he was up there posing. That's pretty messed up to do that.
Wow,
that's fucked up.
Hit Orton.
Yeah, go look up the video. It literally gave him a low blow while he's trying to promote. The family stood in the ring for a good 1 or 2 seconds where I think people could have jumped in and grabbed him, but he low blowed him. But Randy Orton, he obviously got hit. You could tell he got hit. But wow. Yeah, so you fans,
yeah.
Stay across the barricade, you little bitches. All right? So let's talk a little bit about let's go forward to what we're talking about now. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Actually, one of the things I wanted to talk about SmackDown, which got me very interested, was how Sandow and Rhodes are doing with the Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm really enjoying the storyline with Cody Rhodes and Sandow, and I think on SmackDown that entire show was just Sandow screaming in the back trying to find his briefcase, and he ended up going out into the Mexican waters and trying to grab it. I don't know if you watched SmackDown, but did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. That reminded me of when Stone Cold threw the Intercontinental belt in the river.
Yep. You know, but what do you think of the storyline between Sandow and Rhodes?
I mean, is the Money in the Bank, is it gone officially, or are they going to bring it back, or do we know yet?
I would say that he's still going to have the Money in the Bank briefcase. My guess is that they're going to have a new Money in the Bank briefcase, and then those two are going to fight over it. That would be how I would see it playing out.
Okay, well, I think the feud is interesting. You know, especially with, Damian and Cody being tag team partners and then best friends. My only concern for Mr. Sandow, and when I say this to the listeners, I mean this in a very respectful way. Damian Sandow is a mid-card act at best. And when I say that, I don't mean that as a jab as him, because Damian Sandow is really just a present-day The Genius. And to all you younger fans out there that may not know, The Genius was a character that existed, back in the Hogan era, in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was very entertaining, and he was with Mr. Perfect and stuff. And The Genius was, he was a great, heel, but he was a mid-card at best. And this was during a better era with a better roster. So if The Genius couldn't be a world champion, how can Damian Sandow be one? Damian Sandow, when I look at him, he's a U.S. Intercontinental champion at best. And what concerns me about him is he hasn't won a single title so far. When you win these Money in the Bank briefcases, you need to be a former world champion to establish you. And the only person so far that has won a Money in the Bank briefcase without really securing a major title was Jack Swagger. He was a former ECW champion. But, after he won the Money in the Bank, it just flopped. And so when I see Damian, I just don't think he's ready. I mean, granted, no one in that SmackDown Money in the Bank match was ready, but I would have rather have taken my chances with a Barrett or an Ambrose or even a Cesaro. I would not have chosen Sandow, but, I hope it works out for him. I mean, he gets reactions. That's good. So that's a start.
I think his promo skills are excellent, and I think when he does those, he tries to do those three questions, and people try to answer them. I think they're hilarious. I think that's like a modern-day, like, Ted DiBiase kind of character where he's trying to make it easy for him, but then in the end he makes it very difficult. But I do like the character, and I think the wrestler's not too bad. There's not a Sandow match that you could stand out to you that says, wow, that was a great match. That's the thing I think right now we need to get. And I think this is the match that could make that happen. He's never really had a singles feud, really.
He hasn't done anything singles. That's my concern.
He's been kind of going back and forth and out in different things. And this is the first time I think he's going to get a real singles push. So I can't really knock him as a wrestler. Yet, I like him as a character. In fact, if you see the JBL and Co. show, he does some pretty cool stuff on there, which is hilarious. So I do like Damian Sandow as a character. And I think Cody Rhodes is getting over through the fans as a legit great wrestler. And now, if we saw last night on Raw, he's bringing in his family into the story. We could see if Goldust or Dusty Rhodes get involved, which would be okay in my book.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'll end with Sam now by saying, if this, when this feud is said and done, if we go under the assumption that, you know, Damian Sandow is still the Money in the Bank holder, if he cashes in successfully, and my gut tells me he will not, but if he does cash in, it has to be on a baby face. It's not going to work on a heel. So
there is no way. We have to wait for – there's no way. It can't happen. And Damian Sandow, I believe, will still hold that briefcase for a while. I think he's going to be doing that Dolph Ziggler thing where he's going to hold on to that belt for a while. You know, unlike Randy Orton, where I could see him cashing it in at SummerSlam or something sooner. I don't think he's going to hold that briefcase too long. You know, and that's what they should do, because Sandow needs to be built up, you know, for that. You know, and Dolph Ziggler was, Daniel Bryan was. You know, they were built up enough where they want, when they cashed that in, it worked at the right time. Jack Swagger was the only time that did not work, and that's, they pulled the trigger way too fast on that. You know, which,
yeah. So many
that's
things
not really,
wrong.
That's not his fault. That's all WWE's fault. You know, that really so much is. But let's go, since we have 19 minutes left in the program, let's talk. What were your overall opinions of Monday Night Raw?
For a show that, you know, had already been spoiled beforehand, I thought it was okay, because normally when you have a, you know, a recorded Raw, you know, it's very rare in these times, but normally when you have one, fans just skip it. But I thought it was okay. A lot of good wrestling. I was very, very happy to see Christian defeat Del Rio in a non-title match. So, you know, it's going to lead to one more match. So that was really good for me. So I can't say anything negative about the show, because they're finally using Christian the way he should be used.
Yes, Christian did pick up the victory over Alberto Del Rio. Nice little roll up there where he won that match. And the last match, I thought itself, with the tables match, actually, I thought that was pretty good. I thought the way they built it up was pretty good. I liked the use of the stairs. I thought that was a great idea. That was a pretty interesting concept. And it felt like a pay-per-view type match. So I thought that last match was very well done. And I thought even Daniel Bryan and Kane, I thought there'd be a little more storyline involved with that, but not really. But we did see the Wyatt family come back out and attack Kane again. Do you think it's just going to be a one-on-one match, or do you see The Undertaker coming out?
I just see it being one-on-one. I don't see Taker being involved. Now that you brought it up, that's really the only negative I can give the show. Like the Wyatt's attacking Kane, that was fine, but if that match between Bryan and Kane, if that was the end of Team Hell No, because really, when you think about it, it all goes back to SummerSlam last year. That's when it started. Bryan and Kane had that one match, and then after that, they started having the, you know, therapy sessions with whatever that doctor's name was. I can't think of his name. And then that eventually,
Dr. Shelby, man. Come on. Team Friendship.
Yeah, Dr. Shelby. Yeah. If that match was, like, the end, that was very, like, a lackluster ending. You know, I was hoping for, if that was the end. You know, if it continues, fine.
I was hoping for a hug it out or something. They really stirred away like they never were a tag team. But that's what it almost felt like, that they were never – there was no handshake or nothing. It was Kane actually choke-slammed Daniel Bryan, you know, which made him look like a heel. I don't know what that was for. You know, they're trying to get the monster Kane. They're trying to get that monster Kane back, I think. But – It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, damn it? I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com. I love this stuff.
TLD merchandise only available at where?
That's right, TLDWrestling.com. I'm a 2001 Golden Gloves Heavyweight Champion.
That's the TLD fair. It's still around.
TLD pin.
I look phenomenal tonight.
You want to go to the gym and work out and get
I got TLD right here on my heart.
Yeah. Ooh. Get on here. Look at that sexiness right there.
Yeah. Like looking in the mirror.
I'm cuddly. I'm cute. I'm a champion. Why everything, damn it? I'm TLD.
Yeah.
It is TLD's birthday party. So you can buy your own action figure. You can go against other guys like John Cena. You can TLD them, kill them all.
Brand new merchandise, where at? TLDWrestling.com.
Because I'm a 2001 Golden Gloves Heavyweight Champion.
I want to thank my mother for giving birth to me.
You can have all these TLD merchandise items in your house.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do.
The TLD official warrior guy. Why everything, damn it? I'm TLD. I'm gonna think of a wish. Wish came true. I still look good. It's TLD.